hears everything that we say. He answers every prayer. He's a faithful God. And I just want to give him praise today. Father, I thank you for your word, which is so, sets us free. Lord, as we've sung today, Lord, it was the freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be in a yoke of bondage. And I thank you, Lord, as we look at your word and we see how you set your children free. And Lord, you want all of that and more for us. And so, Lord, we say, Holy Spirit, come and minister through me. Let the hearts be open to receive your word this afternoon. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do I have an amen? We've got somebody. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was saying to God, God, I'm not quite sure where to go. I looked on the calendar and I thought, oh dear, was this purposely done? It's Mother's Day, and I've been given the job to share the word. So I thought, Lord, there's lots of women in the Bible. Who do you want me to talk about? Who is relative to us at this point? And as I waited on God, the name Abigail came to me. And I thought, well, God, I've read the story of Abigail, but I didn't really get a lot from it. I don't know what's in there. Well, the only way to find out what's in there is to dig it and to see what God brings and shows you. So I started digging, and by the time I finished, I was so excited at what God had shown me about Abigail and Nabal. There's a picture here. It's a portrait of salvation, amongst many other things. But I've headed this, I've called this word, Beauty and the Beast. And it aptly fits the story of Nabal and Abigail. For those who don't know the story, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 25. I'm not going to read it because it is a long passage. It's the whole of the chapter. I'm going to give you the background on it, and then we're going to come in towards the end. So, 1 Samuel 25, if you want to make a note of it and read it when you get home, it will inspire you and it will encourage you. Let's have a look first at Nabal. Nabal was the husband of Abigail. I believe it would have been an arranged marriage because of the culture of that time. So Abigail was Nabal's husband, and Nabal, the word of God says in 1 Samuel 25, he was a very foolish man. And Nabal's name actually means fool. Who would call the child fool? But Nabal lived up to his name. He was an absolute fool. He was a very wealthy fool, but he did not gain his wealth from his own foolishness. He inherited all that wealth. He was a descendant of Caleb. Can somebody tell me who Caleb was? Feel free. Do you know who Caleb was, Pranil? No? Anybody? He did. Caleb and Joshua went into the promised land to spy it out. And there were 10 spies that came out. And they said, oh, 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 no, 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 this is a non-runner. We are not going into this land. There are giants in this land. There will be meat for them. They'll eat us. They'll consume us. But Caleb and Joshua said, don't be silly. He said, they're just nothing. God is with us, and we are well able to take this land. He was a man of faith. And they didn't go in at that point. He was 85 when he went into the land to gain it. And he said at the age of 85, I'm as strong now as I was 40 years ago. Let's do it. Let's get in there. And let's take this land for God. And that's exactly what they did. And he didn't go for just inside the borders. He said, I want the high places. I want Hebron. I want to go to the summit where God is. And God granted him his request. That was the spirit of the man, Caleb. And Nabal was one of his descendants, but he was a totally opposite character to Caleb. But Nabal enjoyed the family blessing. And what does that mean? It means that because Caleb was a worshipper of God, God gave him a promise, as he gives to all of us. He said that I will be faithful to 1,000 generations of those who love me. So, for 1,000 generations, God had been faithful to Caleb's descendants, and they were a people who were blessed by God, all because of Caleb. You'll find that in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. But you know, although Nabal was very wealthy because of his ancestors' inheritance that he was sharing in, it speaks to me today that we may live in a family that we may have been brought up in a Christian family. Our parents may be Christians. But you know, we have to have that personal relationship with God. We can't live on our family's experience or our family's blessing. There comes a point in our lives when Jesus challenges us and he said, you choose. Will you choose me today? Will you invite me into your heart? And will you let me bless you and do you good? It's not sufficient to live in a Christian nation, I say Christian in quotes, because while ever the nation is blessed, it's blessed because of our ancestors and those who sowed good seed into this kingdom, who brought the kingdom of God to life and to birth in this country and many countries beyond. In fact, I think we went to most of the earth sowing the seed of the kingdom of God. No wonder we're blessed. But you know, that as a nation, we're gradually beginning to turn away from God. And I remember some years ago, we went to Sheffield, and their youth group were doing a drama, the young people. And it was so poignant, because what they were saying was, as in the natural, when the earth turns away from the sun, darkness descends. And as in the natural, so in the spiritual, when we as a people turn away from God, as the earth turns away from the sun, so darkness descends. And as a nation, as Christians, we need to be praying for our nation to push back this tide of evil. We've said that Nabal's name means fool. And Psalm 14 gives God's definition of a fool. Psalm 14 and verse 1 will give you God's definition of a fool. And this is what a fool is. A fool has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what God said a fool is. Anyone who does not acknowledge God, anyone who turns away from God, anyone who looks at God as non-existent or his enemy, you are an absolute fool, God says. And this described Nabal. He's a picture of the devil and his regime of darkness. Nabal was a brutish man. He was a mean man. He was selfish and controlling. He was full of darkness, like his father, the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees, didn't he? He said, you're full of darkness, like your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. And they wanted to get their hands on him and kill him. But he couldn't. He spoke the truth to them. And when we look at Abigail, Abigail portrays all that is light, all the virtues of God. And Abigail's name means fountain of joy. I think that's beautiful. That describes all that's bright and light and beautiful, attractive. And the Bible says that she was a beautiful woman. She was very intelligent. She was discreet. She was wise. And yet she was humble, because she knew where all this came from. It came from God. She was a truly godly woman. But you know, this was totally lost on Nabal. He never recognised what a beauty he had in his household. This beautiful woman. And she was a gift from God. And I think this made me stop and think, we need to thank God for the beautiful people that he's put in our lives. You know, not just women, but men. Men and women of God are beautiful for God. And they are really good gifts of God into our lives. And as we celebrate Mother's Day, as Andrew said, it's good to thank God for a godly mother. But I thank God for a godly father too. And I didn't always appreciate it at the time, but now that I look back in the wisdom of years, I see what a blessing that was for me. God really gave me a great blessing there. And I would say to you younger people, and in fact all of us, let's thank God and let's show appreciation for our godly partners. For children, show appreciation to your godly parents. You have been given a great gift from God, a great advantage, a great blessing, and we need to value it and really appreciate the people God has put around us. You know, when you look in Hebrews 11, and in Hebrews it talks in that chapter about the men and women of faith, and at the end of that chapter it says the world was not worthy of them. They never appreciated what they had in their midst. And Nabal never appreciated the beautiful woman, the godly woman that was in his presence. He never paid attention to her. But I praise God, this fountain of joy, she was unaffected by her husband's foolishness. She didn't get drawn in. She didn't adopt his attitudes or his manners. She maintained her witness. She kept her godly values and remained loyal. She was loyal to Nabal, even though he was not good to her. She remained loyal to him. And she was unaffected. She remained a light in a dark place. And I would say to all you who are maybe working out there in the world, and you may have an employer who does not appreciate you. But let me tell you, don't you try and escape from that place unless God takes you out of it. Because you were there as a light in a dark place. And life is not all about you. Life is not all about me. We are in a specific place for a time and a purpose and a season. And God will determine when that season's finished. And you'll know when that season's finished. But until then, stay where God has placed you. That's wise advice. She didn't try to change Nabal. She just gave him over to God to deal with him. And we can't change anybody. We can pray for them. We can show them a good witness. We can stand faithful and loyal and true. And that's what God expects us to do. But the rest is up to God. We don't want to go beyond our authority. Her godly character was probably formed by what she experienced. God forges our character in the furnace. Ouch! God, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. And we're like, sometimes like spoiled children, and we get stamping our feet and saying, God, this is not right. Why do I have to put up with all this again and again and again? And it's all for your good. God is shaping your character. You will come out of it. Don't try to escape. Wait for God to release you. When you come forth, you will come forth as pure gold. He'll change your nature. He'll change your attitude. He will do you good. He will make you in that furnace. Same with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. They went in the furnace, but it was the making of them. They would not bow down. They wouldn't change their values. They stood strong and firm and said, We will not bow. We will keep our values. And the world is putting pressure on us today to compromise. And I'm in school, it must be awful. There's so much peer pressure, and they want you to compromise, to come down to their level. If you look at the television, it's always wanting you to come down to the world's level. And God said, no, look at the Word of God, look at me, and come up to my level. Maintain your values. Be godly for the kingdom. Abigail, so that's an introduction to Nabal and Abigail and the type of characters that they were. Nabal portrays the regime of darkness, and Abigail is all that is light and beautiful. The background to this story is about David, and I see him here as David the Good Shepherd. And it's beautiful because when David was being hunted down by Saul in the wilderness of Maon, Nabal's men came with their sheep and they camped alongside David and his men. And David, being a shepherd, he understood the dangers to the sheep. He understood the responsibility that Nabal's men had in protecting those sheep. And he said, as a good neighbour, he said, I'll protect your sheep with you, my men, and I will protect you and your sheep to make sure that not one of them are lost. And he and his men set up a camp round the sheep, round the fields, and day and night they watched that camp to make sure that no predator ever came in and stole one of those precious, valuable sheep. And it came to the time of sheep shearing, and this was a time of celebration. This was a time, a year-end time, a time to look at the books and say, have I had a good year, or has it been absolute rubbish? Well, because he was Caleb's descendant, and because God had blessed him so much, although he never appreciated it or saw it, he found he was really blessed. He hadn't lost any sheep. His flocks had increased, his money had increased. He was a wealthy man, and he had everything to celebrate. And so what did he do? What all the world does, he got drunk. And he celebrated, and he celebrated, and he celebrated. And during the celebrations, David and his men heard what had happened. So David said to his men, you go down to Nabal. We should be partaking in this feast. We should be able to enjoy it with them because we have done something towards it. We've helped him to gain his wealth. So let's go and ask him if we can join in the feast. So David sent his young men and he said, go and ask him if you can join in the feast. Well, Nabal, what did his name mean? Fool. And here Nabal played the fool. He played his true hand. And when David's men came, Nabal refused to acknowledge them. He looked at them and he said, who are you? I don't know you. Why should I allow you to come and join in my celebration? I don't recognize you. You could be a vagabond, you could be a liar, you could be a thief, you could be a deceiver. I don't trust you. You're not joining in my feast. And he sent them off back to David. Who's this David? He said, I don't acknowledge him or know who he is. He was lying. He knew all of that, but he refused to accept. And here's the lesson. When the Good Shepherd comes to us, what are we going to say? I don't want to know you, Jesus. I don't know you, Jesus. I won't acknowledge you. God says, you acknowledge me and I'll acknowledge you before my Father. He said, I stand at the door, Revelation 3 and verse 20. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and he who opens to me, I will come in with him and I'll feast with him, I'll sup with him, I'll dine with him. Jesus wants to come. He wanted to come to Nabal. He wanted to come and feast with him and dine with him. But Nabal refused to accept him to his own peril. Why? Because he was a fool. And I would say to every one of us today, don't be a fool. You accept Jesus into your heart. You know that he is in there. You maintain your relationship with him. You stay where he's placed you. And you keep your values that he has given to you. When the men got back to David and told him what had happened, David went straight into the flesh. Oh dear. And he was livid. This man, this fool, this brute, who does he think he is? And he said to his men, "Men, get your swords, strap them to your sides. We're going to wipe him off the face of the earth." David's pride was hurt and he overreacted. He took 400 men with him to attack Nabal and his household. Wow, talking about taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut. But he couldn't have cared less about anybody else in Nabal's household. He wanted revenge. I'm going for this and I'm going to kill him. You know, we need to just stand back sometimes and ask God in anything, before we do anything as drastic as that, we need to know, what are you saying, God? Hey, how should I respond to this? But David, and he was having none of it. He was running flesh, flesh, flesh. That's all he was listening to. But I thank God that God made a provision for him. In our foolishness, God always has a plan. And he's always there to rescue us. He's watching over us. And he is always there, ready to lift us up when we do stupid things. God led one of the young shepherd boys to go and tell Abigail, who incidentally was totally unaware of all this. She was oblivious. She didn't know it had gone off. And one of the shepherds came to her and he told her everything that had happened, and he told her how foolish Nabal had been. And immediately, because she was a woman of God and she was a sensible woman and a wise woman, she quickly said to her servant, she said, "Go and get food and wine for 400 men and pack them on the backs of these donkeys." And she saddled a donkey and she joined them. And together they went towards David's camp. And she met up with David at the ravine. She dismounted from a donkey and she went and she bowed the knee before David. And she said, "David, I apologize for what Nabal has done. I was unaware of the situation, but as soon as I was made aware, I've come to make amends." And she bowed before him. She never asked Nabal, she never consulted Nabal, she did this of her own volition. And she gave David some advice, some godly advice. And this is my paraphrase on what she said to him. Firstly, she said, "Don't dwell on that brute, Nabal." She said, "Foolishness oozes from him." And that told me that dwelling on an offence only intensifies its power. The more you focus on an offence that somebody has caused you, the bigger and the bigger and the bigger it will become, till eventually it will consume you. The devil wants to destroy you with it. He will imprison you, and you will not be able to break free until you come to that point where you say, "I will forgive and I will forget." That is what that's the key to the prison door. And that was the first bit of advice Abigail gave to David. Don't dwell. Don't give another thought to what Nabal said to you. He's just an absolute fool. The second thing she said to him was, "Don't you seek revenge. You will regret it." This is the devil's trap to snare you. And God says it to us. He said, don't avenge yourself of your enemies. That's my job. Your job is to forgive. Your job is to love your enemies, to do good to them, and to pray for them. Because I love all mankind, and it's God's will that all men come to repentance. Even our enemies, God wants to restore, and God wants to bring them into relationship with himself. And he said, "Love your enemies and do good to them and pray for them and leave me to deal with them." The third thing she said to David, she said, God is developing your character because you're going to be shortly going to be king. And God is training you for reigning. And this is part of the program. Don't you try and escape. There are no shortcuts. She said, you need to bring the flesh into submission to the spirit. You need your spirit man to rule and not your flesh man. Because when God makes you king, if you listen to and you learn the lessons, you will be a strong and you will be a dependable king. You will be a good king, a wise king. Listen to what God is teaching you. He is training you for reigning. The fourth thing Abigail said to David was, God fights your battles. Don't ever forget that. He sees everything. Nothing escapes God's notice, and he always has a plan. But he expects us to respond a godly way, in a godly way, and he will do the rest. And this is a paraphrase of what Abigail said to David. She said, you're God's warrior, and no evil will stick to you if you let God deal with your enemies. God is committed to protecting you. He is committed to making you prince over Israel. So when he does, you will not have the guilt of this avenging murder weighing heavily on your heart. She was saying to him, don't take revenge. You will regret it for the rest of your life. It will stick to you like dirt, and everybody will remind you of it. And they will say, he's no good, he did this, he did that. And he's a murderer, he's an avenging murderer. And she said, you don't want that weighing heavily on your heart. Don't take revenge, you will regret it. And the fifth and the final thing she said to him was, when you come into your kingdom, I love this, remember me. Wow, salvation. She said, I know who you are. I know God's going to make you the greatest king of all the earth. And when he does, remember me. I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be welcomed in to this kingdom. She accepted the good shepherd. Nabal was a fool and he rejected the good shepherd and lived and died to regret it. If you remember what the thief said on the cross, what did he say? Master, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I say to all of us, we need to have said that prayer, remember me, God, when you come into your kingdom. David's response in 1 Samuel 25 is from verses 32 to 35. I'm reading from the message. And David said, blessed be God, the God of Israel. He sent you to meet me. And blessed be your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from taking charge, and for taking charge of looking out for me. A close call. As God lives, the God of Israel who kept me from hurting you. If you had not come as quickly as you did, stopping me in my tracks, by morning there would have been nothing left of Nabal or his household but dead meat. Then David accepted the gift that Abigail brought to him, and he said, return home in peace. I've heard what you said, and I will do what you have asked. Wow, this wise woman turned the head of a king and stopped him from making a fool of himself and living to regret his actions. And David didn't look at the vessel that brought him the message. He heard the Spirit of God speaking through her. And he said, truly, this is a woman of God. I hear the voice of the Spirit speaking through this wise woman. And he obeyed the voice of the Spirit of God. God brought vindication. In verse 36 to 38, when Abigail got home, she found Nabal presiding over a huge banquet. He was in high spirits and very, very drunk. So she didn't tell him anything of what she'd done until the morning. But in the morning, after Nabal had sobered up, she told him the whole story. Right then and there, he had a heart attack and fell into a coma. About 10 days later, God finished him off and he died. God is the righteous judge of all the earth. That needn't have happened to Nabal. Nabal was born a fool, he played the fool, and he died a fool. Don't do it. Have God in your life. Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to godly people he puts around you. Don't despise your parents. Wise advice. Listen. God is speaking to you because he loves you and he wants you on the right path. He doesn't want you to be condemned as Nabal was condemned. He was judged. He was found wanting and he died. God brought his reward to Abigail, and he brought it through David, the Redeemer. Verses 39 to 42. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the God who has stood up for me against Nabal's insults. He's kept me from an evil act, and he's let Nabal's evil boomerang back on him." Then David sent for Abigail to tell her that he wanted her for his wife. David's servants went to Abigail at Carmel with the message, "David sent us to bring you to marry him." She got up and then bowed down, face to the ground, saying, "I'm your servant, ready to do anything you want. I'll even wash the feet of my master's servants. Abigail didn't linger. She got on a donkey and with her 5 maids in attendance, went with the messengers to David and became his wife. Abigail became the bride of the greatest king that ever lived. And let me tell you, we are the bride of the king, the greatest king, the king of all the earth. What a privilege we've got. Abigail was married to the greatest earthly king. We are the bride of the greatest, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's value the relationship we have and the wonderful gift that God has given to us. I'll never stop thanking him for all his goodness and for all that he does. The battle of this story and of the ages is darkness against light. It will always be present until God wraps it up. There is a season for darkness, but let me tell you this, it can never overcome the light. The light always wins. You only need to put the smallest light a match, and the darkness is gone. And that's just the puff of smoke that this darkness will disappear in. It will be vaporized by the light of God. Pleasures of sin are for a season. You know, to you young people, your friends might tell you, "Oh, we're having a good time, this is brilliant, you want to try this, you want to do that." No, they're only for a season. They won't last. You'll come up empty. You'll come up short. You need God in your life and get the greatest gift the world has ever seen is for God, the Good Shepherd, to take your life and to use it for his glory, to be his child. That's what God wants for every one of us. That's what he wanted for Nabal and he refused. Abigail accepted, was a wise and godly woman. Let's follow her advice. Let's follow her example. And let's listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. And I really feel that it would be good today just to stand and let's say the Lord's Prayer as an act. Let this not just be words, But let's say the Lord's Prayer as a sign of commitment to him and to his kingdom, and acknowledging the goodness of God in our lives. And if you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, now is the time for you to come and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want the best. I want what Abigail had. She got the greatest prize, the best prize, because she followed God and she kept God's standards and she remained true. And God was always true to her, and he'll be true to you, every one of you. He will never let you go. He'll always fight for you. He'll defend you when you're wrong. He will bring you into the right, and he will make sure that you inherit the kingdom that he has for you, because he loves you. So let's stand and let's together say that wonderful prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Loud and clear, like, I mean this. I really mean this. Let's think about what we're saying, and don't say it lightly. Think about what we're saying. All together, our Father, all together, our Father, who art in heaven, I can't hear you, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What a kingdom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to belong to such a King. What a privilege it is. Amen.